Some people pay other people to turn a wrench, swap their oil filter. Me, DIY, all day. This isn't convenience. It's confidence. Purelator 20K oil filters. Clean oil, more miles. Over 99% filter to perfection. Only at Walmart.com or select Walmart stores. Purelator. Keep it purring.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
The Bird Show.
Abby, she was trying to break a record. How many push-ups do you think a 59-year-old grandma did in 1 hour?
Okay. 1 hour. I did 28 in 1 minute. So I'm going to say... math is hard. I'm going to say 500.
500? Mo, she was trying to break a record. How many push-ups do you think a 59-year-old grandma did in 1 hour?
500, Abby?
Yes. I did 28 in a minute. So you get 60 of those.
Oh. I'll say 100.
100. I got 500. 100. Cassie, she's trying to break a record. How many push-ups do you think a 59-year-old grandma did in 1 hour?
I'm going to say 350.
Jackson, you're in studio because you have our bingo card. I'm going to throw you in on this. How many did grandma do?
I'm going to go big, 600.
Ooh. A 59-year-old grandmother in Canada broke the women's world record for most push-ups in an hour. She broke the old record with 17 minutes to spare and finished with 1,575 push-ups.
What? I'm a beater.
What? Give it up for Donna Jean Wild.
Well done.
1,575 push-ups in 1 hour.
That's impressive.
Granny got some good.
Yeah, she does.
All right, Jackson, a Thanksgiving bingo card to keep those entertained who are hanging out with people they might not want to be hanging out with.
Yeah, the holidays can be stressful. You know, as grateful as I am to have a loving family to go to over the holidays, sometimes it can be a little bit awkward and tense with the prodding and poking questions that they tend to ask. You know, you haven't seen a lot of these people in a year. It's time to catch up with them. And while their intentions usually mean well, sometimes it can come across a little bit misconstrued. Last week I came in here and I talked about a survival guide on how to survive and get through the holiday gauntlet of questions. Christian, your advice was to wear a shirt of all the things that are off topic, which in my household would not work even a little bit. I think it would cause people to double down on every subject that's on there.
Thanks.
Yeah, I was like, you need to have like the question, do I have a significant other? No. Am I still unemployed? Yes. Am I going to be starting a family anytime soon?
No.
And just like everything that you need on the shirt and be like, if they ask you, if they ask you, I would just go silent and I would just like point the shirt, be like, there's your answer. Let's move on.
C-shirt, please. And I think for me, a lot of times, the uncomfortableness doesn't necessarily come from the one-off conversations here and there of catching up. It's the repetitiveness of going through so many different relatives, aunts, uncles, whatever, and like having what sounds like the same conversation over and over again. And sometimes I just want to like walk in the room and be like, everyone gather around, throw your questions at me for the next 10 minutes. It's an open, it's hot seat right now, and then we're done.
No, really, like we should have press conferences at the start of every holiday. Like everyone lines up. You get 10 questions max. You get to ask me about my relationships. You get to ask me about my job, and then we're done. We get it on the record. We send it to the group chat. We're over it.
You just need to bring a brochure or a flyer with the questions you know you're going to be asked and just hand them out to all the old relatives as soon as you get there. No. Yes, single. No, moved in with girlfriend. You know, whatever.
No, I love this press conference Q&A out the gate. And I think like they do online with like the parent conferences, these two dads do like conference, like these whole like sports conference.
Oh, the dumb dad pod.
Yes, I love it so much. So what we're going to do today, if we have time, we're going to have a mock press conference for you. and we're going to be different family members just shooting questions at you. So, like, I'll be, like, your grandma over here and, like, when am I going to get a great-grandbaby, Abby?
Never, I hope I'm barren.
We are 1,000% doing that before the end of the show.
Okay. And so, in an effort to make this a little bit more fun, I have a massive family, okay? So, a press conference really wouldn't work for me because that would take a week in itself. So I've put together what I think that I'm going to hear. I've put together 8 different phrases or things or questions that I think I'm going to ask. Now, I will let you know that this side of my family is a little bit less direct than my other side of the family. This is my dad's side. So my mom's side, they'll tell you straight up to your face that, hey, you're looking kind of fat right now. they'll do that. This side of my family, for better or for worse, kind of tends to tiptoe around subjects a little bit more. And so I'm going to give you sort of the generic answer. And then when we come back from the holiday, I'll let you know what they actually said and how it's translated into these.
So this is like your own little personal bingo card.
Exactly.
I love it. Go for it.
All right. First off, when are you going to propose? That's a big one. That's a classic, right?
Even with your girlfriend there?
Yeah.
So they'll just like, they'll pull you off to the side. They wouldn't dare ask that question in front of her, would they?
They might pull her aside and say, when do you think he's going to propose?
Yeah. My family be like yours, bro. They would do that too.
I've asked that question before. I see it happening.
Yeah, that definitely happens.
You have done that?
Yeah.
Abigail.
I'm a bad person.
Own it. Own it.
You are looking, healthy.
No. See, that's crossing a line because I think the other stuff is just like they're excited for you. They're excited for your future. And everyone, it's just like a natural human thing to want to know what's next. If you comment on somebody's appearance, that is messed up.
Well, it's a natural human thing for them to comment on that.
Do you ever respond like you're aging well?
No, I never do
Try
that.
It. See what happens. See if you get asked that question again.
Hey, Asian don't raisin, so
you know, to your point, they probably are aging well.
Yeah, so it's on brand.
Are you still doing that radio thing?
Oh, no. That's so condescending.
Yeah,
that radio thing with like a flip of the hand.
Exactly. How much have you had to drink?
Not enough.
Yeah, I mean, the week is just a whirlwind. I feel like I'm drunk the entire time, but you know, you got to make it through.
It's called medicated.
Exactly. This one's very specific to me. What is that thing on your lip?
I can't fault him for that.
Yeah. For those who obviously can't see me right now, I, for the first time in my life, have figured out that I can kind of grow a tiny bit of facial hair. Mm-hmm. This is the first time I've even made an attempt, and it was awkward. It still is a little awkward, but I kind of like it, so I'm sticking with it.
It's actually not bad. You can pull it off. I hope you grow it a little bit longer, though, and make it into those handlebar mustaches.
Oh, you want me to, like, twist it up on the sides?
I actually think you could rock that look.
What else do we have? Why don't you visit more often?
Because you ask me questions like this.
Yeah. But then again, if I visited more often, I could get these questions out of the way and I probably wouldn't have to think about this.
Guilt trips are always my favorite part of the holidays.
Absolutely. I know. And it's that same thing when you see a long lost friend and you're like, yeah, well, let's go grab drinks next week. And you just never do.
Yeah.
I always get, oh, if you lived closer, we could do this all the time.
Because that's what I want.
Who did you vote for?
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's like a specific certain few uncles that will ask that question, but they'll dig in on that one.
I feel like people come from like one or two families. It's like house divided or like they lean really far in one direction. So like nobody has to ask. So like either the holidays are going to be really uncomfortable this year or like, yeah.
And last is I heard you don't want kids.
I heard you. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's going to be, that's Jackson's Thanksgiving bingo card. How many questions do we have here?
So I was thinking like a 3x3 grid with a free space in the middle. So there's 8 here.
Perfect. And so, man, if you get the whole board.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a wash. I think we're going to do the whole thing.
Brad.
Probably in an hour.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, good luck with that, man.
Thanks. And I want to say this is not all doom and gloom. I'm obviously making this out to be a little bit more dramatic than it actually is. I love my family. Hanging out with them is always a good time, but, you know, there's awkward conversations to be had.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
All right, so we're going to get Lisa on here in just a second. She's worried her family's Thanksgiving gathering, is going to explode because of a stunt her parents are pulling on her brother. She'll give us the whole lowdown. But would you guys like to celebrate and ring in the new year by watching a building get imploded?
It's definitely a lot more exciting than watching the ball drop.
So no joke, in Macon, Georgia, they have decided to ring in the new year by imploding a Ramada Inn.
Really? Okay.
What do they have against the Ramada? Why are we blowing it up?
We acquired this property to blow it up. And I think a lot of people are going to have a problem with it. They're going to have a little heartburn to start with. You know, we're going to spend a little money to tear that thing down. But what you'll see that's replacing that is going to be 100 times what it's doing right now.
We support the demolition. It's an eyesore to the whole community, and we'd love to have something else there. We just want to make sure that our church doesn't get blown up on our bicentennial.
So, paying for it to blow it up is diabolical.
So that you first heard from Mayor Lester Miller in Macon say, like, yes, they acquired it because they're going to blow that puppy up, and they're doing it at midnight on New Year's Eve. And then you heard Russ Henry of Christ Church Episcopal, which I'm assuming is in close proximity to the Ramada Inn, and they just want to preserve their church on their bicentennial. And I did it reading the article. So the hotel was opened in 1970, and Elvis stayed there.
Really?
What?
Yes.
Right. At the Ramada?
At the Ramada.
It's historic.
But it's getting blowed up.
All right.
And let me tell you, Mayor Lester Miller is pumped about it, as you can tell. All right, so let's get Lisa on. She's worried her family's Thanksgiving is going to explode, just like that Ramada Inn, because of a stunt her parents are pulling on her brother. Hey, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
All right, so what are you bracing yourself for come next week for Thanksgiving dinner with your family?
You know what? If I'm being honest, I'm secretly loving it.
Yeah?
So my younger brother is 26, and he's notorious for breaking up with girls for the stupidest reason. You know, like think one eye is larger than the other, or she doesn't like hash browns, and I'm wise enough to realize that this is just a cop-out because he's just not ready to commit right now.
Yeah.
And my only wish is that he wouldn't string these poor girls along and would just be single for a minute. He always has a girlfriend and they never last. And oddly enough, well, I mean, it's odd for him. He recently broke up with his girlfriend of 6 months, which is the longest relationship he's ever had. And he told my parents and I that he broke up with her because she wants him to use a water bottle to cut down on his plastic use. And like,
that's ridiculous.
Exactly. Like, it's ridiculous. And my parents and I, of course, were like, that's just a silly reason to break up with somebody. And they are not willing to accept this is the real reason their son broke up with his girlfriend. And they know it's because he's like a commitment phobe. So because his reasoning was so minor, my parents invited his ex-girlfriend to Thanksgiving dinner because they want him to realize how silly, my mother's words, he's being. And I'm not giving my brother a heads up this is happening.
Whoa. That is diabolical.
Wow.
That is sinister.
The
it's
evil.
Such good payback. Yeah, it's such good payback for the stupid reasons for his breakups over the years. And I will 100% be rolling the camera on his face when he walks in and he sees his ex-girlfriend. Dear
this God. Is like, I don't want to call it like classic sibling behavior, but obviously you don't think it's going to be so bad. You just think you're going to get enjoyment out of it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he broke up with her for a silly reason. This poor girl did nothing. So I think it's hilarious.
So your parents have invited her and she's like game to do this?
Yeah. She's like, of course.
So she's in on it. She knows like this isn't some ploy to get them back together. She's just here for like the ha-ha joke of it all.
You know, she's definitely here for the haha joke, but I'm not sure, 100% sure, I'll be honest.
Maybe it might be a little mixture of both that we got going on here.
I was about to say, I kind of feel bad for the ex if she is kind of like holding out a candle for this guy and like, you know, she thinks, oh my gosh, I'm going to get to go back to Thanksgiving and maybe we're going to just bond. No, yeah, I know.
Mo, what would you do if you walked into your family Thanksgiving and your mother had invited your ex-girl, like your recent ex?
I would look at my mom in disappointment and smile and walk right back out.
You would?
Yeah, absolutely.
You just turn your heels and bounce?
Right back out.
Okay, so Lisa, obviously you've known your brother for his entire life. What do you think he's going to do? Like, honestly.
I think maybe a combination of the disbelief stare. I think he'll try to be as cool as can be. And I think he's going to go through the entire dinner and it's going to be a funny moment.
I think just to add a little more salt to the wound, instead of having water glasses at the table, everybody should have a water bottle, a personalized water bottle.
And why stop at one ex? Yeah. Invite all his exes. Bring them all back.
Ghosts of Thanksgiving past.
Oh my God. Like for your appetizers, you can have one ex, and then for like the entree, another ex, and then when the pumpkin pie comes out, it's delivered by another ex.
Lisa, now's the party.
Girl, you have got to call us back after Thanksgiving and let us know how this went.
Oh my gosh, they totally will.
The Burt Show.
My dude is on the run. He's on the run from a bar.
Did he not close out a tab or something?
Something like that.
Really?
Yeah, actually. You are right in line of what he's going through. So he has a neighborhood bar that he goes to all the time.
Where everybody knows your name.
Where everybody knows his name. It's exactly that.
He walks in and they're like, Norm!
Yes, and he goes there probably once a week. So, I mean, literally, not only does he know all of the bartenders, he knows all of the people who pretty much go there. And everybody is familiar with each other. So he's missed out on paying his tab twice now. So he already kind of has made a name for himself because he has a tendency, because they know him so well, that when he goes in there and he orders drinks, they don't like charge him. Like, they just know that he's going to pay. So the first time he did it by accident. He just got so drunk, I guess, he just walked out and completely did not pay the tab. So the next day he woke up and he realized it and he Venmo'd him and he paid extra. So then the second time he did it again. So that's just to say that when he gets in there, he gets to drinking and he has a good time. And sometimes he walks out and forgets to pay the tab. Now, this is a little worse than forgetting to pay the tab, because what happened was we were all in there watching the Mike Tyson Jake Paul fight. And my dude has a tendency to start drinking and then start making bets, start cashing checks that his ass can't cash, to put it simple. And so at some point, because he's such a big Mike Tyson fan, his ego and his pride started to lead the way a little bit, because everybody in this particular bar was pretty much saying that Jake Paul was going to win. And if you thought anything different, you were just being foolish. He didn't like that too much. So it really started with me, because he felt like I wasn't defending Mike Tyson because we both were in there rooting for Mike Tyson. But I understood the circumstance. I was rooting for Mike, but I knew what this was.
You read the ring. And you, yes. like if Mike did beat Jake, that would be like a huge upset, would be awesome. But you knew deep down that the likelihood of that happening is minuscule.
Exactly. So at some point, there was two ladies next to us. They're drinking as well. They're having a good time. And one of them says, "You so confident in Mike Tyson winning, why don't you put your money where your mouth is?" So he looks at me like, "Let's do it." I said, "No, there's no let's. You in this alone. I'm not putting money anywhere."
You're like, "I'm not stupid."
No, if anything, I'm putting money on Jake Paul. And so he goes, "Well, bet it." So I said, "Wait, you want to bet?" He's like, "Yes, bet it. You really going to put money on Jake Paul? I'll take it." I said, "Whatever you want to bet. I hate this for Mike. Mike, forgive me, but this is money, right? I'm not thinking with my heart when it comes to money. I'm thinking with my brain." So he goes, $100. Let's bet it. I said, "Done." He said, "Matter of fact, $200. That's how confident I am." I said, "Done. We go however high you want to go." So then the lady next to me goes, "I'll take two." So he goes, "I'll take it." The lady next to her goes, "Give me two." He goes, "I'll take it." So I'm looking at him like, "Are you serious? Like, you probably should stop." Before I know it, that man took a $200 bet from at least 10 people.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did. Two of the bartenders, the two ladies sitting next to us, me, and then some guy that was sitting next to him, he's taking all bets. So obviously we saw the results of the fight, and we pretty much knew from the first round on that Mike wasn't going to win that fight. So he looks at me and goes, we might as well go and just watch the rest of the fight from the crib. I'm getting tired of everybody giving me all of this smoke. So we leave. Don't think anything of it. I'm making fun of him the whole way home. I'm like, you're going to have to clear out your bank account. That was so stupid. I'm telling all of these jokes. The next day, I hit him up to see how he's doing. And I'm like, hey, bro, when you going to go back to that bar? Like, you going to stay away from your bar for a little bit, or how you going to handle this? So he goes, handle what? So I'm like, what you mean? You don't remember what happened last night? He says, bro, nah, I don't, what did I do?
No.
I said, you got to be kidding me. Were you that drunk? And he was like, I ain't going to lie, I was a little saucy. I said, you made like a $2,000 bet in this bar with like 10 different people. And he was like, I don't remember any of that.
I don't believe that for a second.
That's what I said.
I don't believe that for a second.
Now, you're going to have to lie to them. Like, you don't have to lie to me. If you remember and just don't want to pay, I don't care that much. But these people are going to want their money when you go into this bar. This is your favorite bar. Like, you can't not go. And he's like, bro, I'm not trying to be funny. I remember us going, and I remember us, like, waiting for the fight and talking smack to everybody, but I don't remember making these bets.
Like, how early did you guys get there? Because the fight was really, really late.
Well, yes. And in his defense, I mean, we got there like right before the fight started, but we were drinking all the way up until that point. So I did realize that he was a little drunker than I normally see him. Because even in making the bets, I was like, oh, this man must be, he's on a different level. But I couldn't stop him. But I didn't think he was drunk to the point where he was going to wake up the next day and not remember any of it. He genuinely does not remember. And I don't think he's lying, because he's not the kind of person that would lie about that. I really don't think he remembers. So now he's kind of in this position of the next, he don't want to go back to his favorite bar, because if he does, it's going to be about a $2,000 tab. And that's before he get a drink.
So, yeah, what's the protocol there? Like, if the person doesn't remember the bet, is the bet void?
So that's my question. To me, if you make the bet, you got to pay. Like, it don't matter if you remember or not, but...
So you got witnesses.
Yeah, like, would you...
You got 10 of them.
Yes. So I don't know if they're going to cut him a break and say, all right, you know, that kind of happens. People come in the bar, do stuff like that, or if they're going to be like, no, I want my money.
I feel like the only thing on the line here is his word, because you guys didn't sign anything. There wasn't any kind of official, like, okay, I will pay this for sure, like, in writing. This was just like, oh, okay, I'll pay you $200. I'll pay you $200. So really, like, there's nothing binding him except for everyone's collective memory, which I feel like he can just kind of run away from. Doesn't make him look like he's not a man of his word. Absolutely. But yeah, at the end of the day, like, there was no official, like, paper signed.
So is being a man of your word worth $2,000?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah, say what y'all want about me. I'm keeping this money.
All right. So give me some quick advice here, okay? So my husband has a milestone birthday this year, right? Next month, he's turning the big 50. He seems very hesitant to do any type of celebration whatsoever. And we're going to be in Kentucky over his birthday, where we are both from. His friends, his family are there. So I would like to throw him a birthday dinner. Not a big surprise. Just get a room at a restaurant, invite his friends and family so we can celebrate his 50th birthday. Whoever can attend can attend. But I really feel like he's dragging his feet on making a decision. And I don't know. I'm worried he's going to regret not celebrating. But I also want to respect his wishes if he doesn't. But he hasn't been forthright as far as saying, I don't want to celebrate my birthday. So I'm kind of like in this limbo of like, do I force my husband to celebrate his birthday? Or do I let this milestone birthday just go without any real acknowledgement? Because I love a good birthday celebration. I'm about it. I know that's who I am. I also recognize that's not who he is. But this is a milestone birthday. And for the record, I threw him a surprise 40th birthday, and he loved it.
Well, I'll say this. My dad is very similar in that way. He does not like to celebrate. When he turned 50, he kept telling the family, I really don't want to do anything. Please don't feel like you're obligated. And my mother did not listen. She did not listen at all. She did it big. She threw a whole surprise. And I remember the moment of him looking back on it and going, you know what? I'm really happy you did that. It was worth it for him to see all of his family. And so I would say, he's going to look back and feel special about it if you make it special.
Yeah, I feel like guys, in a weird way, it's sort of like the toxic masculinity of it all. Like, oh, don't make a big deal about my birthday. Like, that's such a girl thing. Don't make a big deal about me. But I think deep down, all men really want to be celebrated, but they don't want to have to ask for it because it feels sort of like girlish to be like, yes, please throw me a birthday party. So if you already know that you've done it once and it went over well, I don't see any reason not to do it again, especially when it's just as big of a milestone as the first time around. So I say go for it.
Is he having any like reservations about turning 50?
If he does, he's not. I don't know, because he doesn't talk about his emotions or feelings.
Then I think you plan a family friend, like close friend dinner, because then it's like a happy medium. It's a dinner with people that he cares about, but then it's not a huge party. So you're kind of walking that middle line.
Oh, I'm going to do it, y'all.
We know.
Yeah, we know.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane. Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Some people pay other people to turn a wrench, swap their oil filter. Me, DIY all day. This isn't convenience. It's confidence. Purelator 20K oil filters. Clean oil, more miles, over 99% filtered to perfection. Only at Walmart.com or select Walmart stores. Purelator, keep it purring.
Another trivia question for you, Mo and Abby. What is the day after Thanksgiving called?
Black Friday.
Brown Friday, because it's the busiest day of the year for plumbers.
Wait. What?
I love fun facts with Kristen. Love knowing that.
So I just learned this just a couple of minutes ago. The day after Thanksgiving is the busiest day of the year for plumbers, so much so that in the plumbing industry, it's known as Brown Friday.
I never thought about that, but that makes a lot of sense.
It does.
And it's not just from like clogging up toilets. Apparently, there's an increased strain on pipes because of kitchen pipes getting clogged, because people pour grease, which you're not supposed to do, turkey drippings, cooking oil, all that stuff down the drain. So Brown Friday is a thing. The day after Thanksgiving.
That is nasty.
So in honor of Brown Friday.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Yelp analyzed data on plumbing-related searches for emergency plumbing and 24-hour plumbers to come up with a list of the most clogged up cities. You probably already looked at it.
Mm-hmm. I did it.
You did it? Mm-hmm. Don't look at it.
Okay.
Who do you think the top three cities are as far as clogs go on Brown Friday?
New York?
New York is not in the top 10.
Really?
Yes.
Definitely somewhere in Cali, so probably L.A.?
L.A.'s number one.
What? Okay.
L.A. is number one.
I don't know why L.A., I wouldn't have thought would have been top of the list. Aren't they just eating salads and avocados out there?
That's a valid point, but I think their aqueduct system is really bad or something like that.
How do you know so much about the California plumbing system?
I can't remember. It was in a show I watched. Okay.
Well, now that makes sense.
Yeah, I might be making that up, but I'm pretty sure they have like a bad aqueduct system. All right. The top.
I'm going to say somewhere in Texas, maybe. So,
no. Mm-mm.
No.
I was with you. I was thinking like Dallas, maybe San Antonio, like a southern city with lots of families getting together.
I'll give you a hint. The number two spot belongs to a city in Florida.
Ooh.
You have been there.
Miami?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And then the number three spot belongs to a city in Tennessee, which you have also been to.
Nashville.
Correct.
Okay.
So Los Angeles, Miami, and Nashville, y'all going to have a rough Brown Friday. And I'm sorry for that. But plumber's going to be making that money.
There you go.
All right. Producer Katie. She's dating a guy who's awaiting a prison sentence. She's sticking by his side, but they just got the prison sentence, and it's a tad bit longer than she was anticipating.
It's way longer than she was anticipating. So my friend's mom has gotten her groove back. She's found this guy. I don't know how they met. I think they met at some random like cigar lounge or something. And she's been dating him for about a year.
Okay.
And they're going strong. Like, her mom is like head over heels for this guy. Well, prior to them meeting, he got into a little bit of an altercation. He got into a bar fight.
Okay.
And it didn't go well. And the guy pressed charges against him and stuff like that. So over this course of time, he was awaiting his sentencing.
So he had gone to court. They'd taken it to trial. and he was found guilty, and then he just had to await sentencing. I do find it odd that sentencing took so long, but whatevs.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I was like, that's really weird. However, he was thinking maybe he would probably get off. You know, it's a simple bar fight.
Probation or something like that.
Little did he know, the guy that he got into the fight with was actually friends with the judge who sentenced him.
Oh, damn. What are the chances?
No, but what are the chances? But is that even allowed? Like, isn't that like,
the judge should have recused himself.
Thank you.
Conflict of interest.
Thank you. That's what I was going for.
Words.
Well, that didn't happen. So he has been sentenced to 8 years.
You're lying.
On house arrest, though. But
still,
these years of house arrest, he cannot leave his house. He can't even like go physically into work. He has to be in that house for 8 years.
That doesn't make any sense.
Did he have priors?
No. First offense, by the way.
Okay. So, yes, she should date him because he can appeal that and get it overturned. If he can prove that the judge and the friend colluded or that even that they're friends, you can easily get that conviction overturned because that is a hard... I mean, was it with a deadly weapon? Did he smash a bottle or something?
No.
So it's just a bar fight with your fists. No threats of murder made or anything like that?
No, not that I'm aware of.
No terroristic threatening or something like that?
I got my degree from Google, but I'm pretty sure that that's going to be... You can overturn that.
I got my degree from Common Sense University, and that's BS.
So right now, that's what he is trying to do. I think he is trying to fight it, because that's crazy. Like, you can't
Don't try to fight it. Stop trying to fight it. You got to use another word.
That's true. But her mom is like, okay, in the meantime, like... I like to travel, and I've been taking all these trips all over the world, and you can't travel with me anymore. Like, I have to come to your house. You can't even come hang out at my house. And so I'm like, it's putting a strain on their relationship now.
Well, of course it is. If you're like, and the fact that he's under house arrest, and I'm sure he's got the ankle monitor or whatever, but like, you have the ankle monitor, so you don't leave your home, but typically, like, between the hours of, like, 9 a.m. and 9 p.m., you can go about your life and do things. You just have to be sure to be back to your house so the monitor doesn't go off.
He can't even do that.
That is just bananas.
Yeah. So I'm like, if y'all were in this situation, dating this guy, would you stick around?
I mean, with what I hear from a lot of women and the way that dating goes, I think, like, she might see it as a positive that she know where he at all the time. Yeah, my man can't do nothing. She can sleep at night.
The Burt Show.
When you need the right words and don't want to screw it up, let The Burt Show be your texting tutor. And we'll screw it up for you.
So riddle me this, you guys. If you had to put a timetable on how long you've been dating somebody before they are invited into your family photo at the holidays, what is the finish line for that?
Marriage.
Marriage. Straight up and down.
That's not dating behavior. It's not.
And I just tell you, as soon as I started dating my now husband, it was something like 8 months in, his sister asked me to be in her wedding party, and I turned it down 3 times because I was like, I'm going to be in your photos forever, and we've been dating 8 months, and if we don't last, then I'm going to be around forever. I ended up being in it. Thank God we lasted. But it's an awkward conversation, and it's very meaningful.
And is that the only reason why you've stayed with Chad all these years? Because you're in his sister's wedding photos?
She's divorced now, so now I'm free and clear.
So you're saying marriage is the litmus test to get into the holiday photo, not even engagement?
I think engagement is fair. I think engagement's fair.
Okay.
I think engagement is fair as well. Fair.
Or if you've been together like 7 or more years.
If you are either common law, engaged, or married.
Okay. That does not fit the criteria.
Or you have a kid together. That changes things as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because you're a family then.
Yeah.
Or your brother and sister. Yeah, Kentucky.
All right. Or Georgia.
Yeah, any of the southern
or
states.
Or Mississippi or Alabama. Arkansas. Thank you.
When in doubt, throw Alabama in.
Alabama is the token.
All right, so Stephanie here is in that situation right now. It's about the holiday picture. It's about her son's new girlfriend, who he clearly wants in the holiday photo. And Mama wants to put her foot down and say, that ain't happening. Hey, Stephanie.
Hi.
Okay. We're all on your side in this already. Without even knowing the details. We're already in your side.
Well,
so you want our help texting your son to say, look, it's too early to have your girlfriend in our holiday photo?
Yes, that's exactly what I need you guys to help me with, because I don't want to hurt his feelings. He's a real sensitive kid and, you know, the kind of kid that like falls in love easily. He's always been that way. And he's been with this girl maybe 3 months.
Oh, come on.
And I met her for like 5 minutes, like one time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were talking about the family photo for the holidays and, you know, in a group chat. And he just wrote, "Hey, what should Kim wear to match everybody?" Yeah. And we were all like side texting, like, "What is he talking about? What's going on?" And he's putting like question marks, and we're all just trying to blow him off about it because we don't know like the nice way to break it to him. And of course, as his mom, I have to be the one. And I feel bad for him, but like, you know, my two daughters, one is engaged, one is married with a beautiful little baby girl, and they're here to stay. Mm-hmm. This girl, I don't know if she's going to make it past New Year's.
Sure.
So I don't want her in a family photo on a card that goes out to everybody. I post it on the internet, everybody sees. And then what happens when they break up? Then I got to answer the question, what happened to Kim? What happened? You know, why'd they break up? Blah, blah, blah. So
sure.
I don't want to hear it.
Totally legit.
Or they'll think you adopted a kid or something.
Mm-hmm. What you got, Cass?
So question, because this seems obvious to me. Why not just take two versions of the family photo? One with her, one without. You use the one without on the Christmas card, but you give the one with to your son and Kim to use on their own Christmas cards if they want to.
But when you're there at the photo shoot and everybody's in a photo and she's standing off to the side by herself, it's going to be painfully apparent and awkward what they are doing.
Well, yeah, but this being knows she's only been around for 3 months, it's going to be weird for her if she's in a holiday photo. Did we even know she wants to be in it?
Yeah, it's so awkward. I mean, but it's one of those things where it's like, yes, it's uncomfortable for the 30 minutes you're taking photos, but anybody that has any understanding of social cues knows that you're not going to be in all of these family photos. Heck, after 3 months, you shouldn't even be invited to the photo shoot.
I hate to break it to you. Not everybody has social cues.
You should not be offended by that 3 months at all.
All right, Stephanie, when we come back, we will help you text your son. Is that wiggle room going to work for you if we suggest to him that we'll just do two cards so we'll establish that before the actual holiday?
You don't suggest that. You just do that in the moment when you're at the photographer, wherever you're doing the photo.
I'll be honest with you. I think that's a non-negotiable. We haven't had a family photo together probably since my daughter's wedding, which was like 4 or 5 years ago. Like, it's been years. Mm-hmm. And I have everybody together. I don't want her in the car. He's 22. Like, what does he really know about a relationship? I'm sorry. Like, I don't see longevity. I don't want her at the shoot at all. So that's more the angle I'm going toward.
Okay, give us a couple of minutes here, Stephanie. When we come back, we'll start texting your son and tell him the holiday photo is happening, but your girlfriend is not going to be part of it. Next on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Work moves fast. Every email, report, and proposal counts. That's where Grammarly comes in. It's your one place to think, write, and finish. Grammarly's AI agents help you find natural phrasing, fine-tune tone, and confidently write wherever you work. It's the premier writing tool that 93% of users trust to get more work done. In a world of generic AI, don't sound like everyone else. With Grammarly, you never will. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com.